This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
This episode of the Sportsman's Nation is brought to you by Outdoor Edge and their complete lineup of replaceable blade knives, fixed blade knives, and game processing kits. Now, we've all been there before, trying to field dress your wild game with a dull knife. This is where Outdoor Edge really steps in. With the Razor Safe system, you can have a brand new, razor sharp blade with just the push of a button. No more dull blades and no more problems processing your wild game. To check out all of the products from Outdoor Edge, visit OutdoorEdge.com. And at checkout, enter the discount code NATION30, that's NATION30, for 30% off of your purchase. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and I have a bit of a stuffed up nose today. I do apologize if that if you can hear that, but tough shit, I guess. Just ride it out. It's not in the actual recording. It's just me here talking with a stuffed up nose right now. But with that said, we have an awesome podcast today. We're going to be talking to the guys from Timber Ninja Outdoors. They make some pretty cool climbing sticks. They make some badass, they're coming out with a new platform hang on. They're going to come out with some saddle type equipment, and they talk about all of this in the podcast today, so stick around for that. But today I'm going to keep this intro short. Just make sure you guys are subscribed to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, the Iowa Hunt Fish podcast, and of course the Hunting Gear podcast. Lots of great content coming out there. On top of that, I think that's it really. Just going to keep this intro short. We're going to do a quick commercial here. First commercial that we're going to do is The Average Conservationist. Now, you've heard me talk about these guys before. They are a lifestyle brand and apparel company. And right now, my two favorite pieces out of their lineup are the General Hat. I wear that almost every day, and the Euro Tee. The Euro Tee I do not wear every day. I wash it, and then I wear it again the next week. But the Euro Tee and the General Hat are my two favorite pieces out of there right now. But what makes this apparel company or this lifestyle brand really cool is, first, They have a podcast on the Sportsman's Nation, the Average Conservationist podcast. And second, the Average Conservationist, right off the top, donates 10% of all earnings to some sort of a conservation effort, whether that's at the local level or at a national level. 10% right off the top. They are a 2% for certified company. So every time you buy one of their products, essentially you are donating to conservation, because you're giving your money to a company that donates 10% of their earnings to a conservation effort. And on top of it all, they're, you know, the cherry on top is that the logos, the tees, the hats, the hoodies, they're all badass. They're all soft. They make a guy like me look good, and that's hard to do. So go check out theaverageconservationist.com, and if you want to save 10% on your purchase, enter the discount code NFC10, and that's going to save you 10% off your purchase. The next one we're talking about, Lone Wolf. Man, I say it every time. Lone Wolf is that appendage. It's that other part of me that every time I walk into the woods, throughout all the years, it's just like an arm or a leg. It's just second nature for me to use four sticks and an assault tree stand on a run and gun to get wherever I need to get to. In a crooked tree, in a tree with a lot of branches, in a straight tree, you know, and we've all been there before, where 5 yards can mean a huge difference, right? If maybe you had a different setup, you would have been able to sit in the crooked tree as opposed to the straight tree, because the crooked tree is deeper into that pinch point. The wind's doing what you need it to do. The access is better, whatever. It allows you to be in the right spot, not the close enough spot. So, Lone Wolf tree stands, like, they're just, I don't know, my favorite, man. So lonewolfhuntingproducts.com, go check it out. Climbers, hang-ons, I use the Assault for my running gun. I use the Alpha for more of my permanent rut locations, you know, in the pinch points where I'm in the right spot. I got those set up before the season starts. And if you want to save $50 off of all purchases over $100, enter the discount code 9FC21. 9FC21, and it's going to save you $50. Basically, I think it's 18% to 25%, depending on what you buy. But that's a big deal. That's better than retail any day. So take advantage of that. And those are the commercials. And let's get into today's podcast with the guys from Timber Ninja. All right, on the phone with me today, Mr. Jason Red from Timber Ninja Outdoors. What's up, man?
Not much, man. It's enjoying a Monday.
Yeah? Like I mentioned to you before we started recording, I, with three kids home today, because there's some kind of teacher in service work day, it's a Monday. We were gone all weekend, so all these things kind of have piled up to make my Monday not very efficient so far. So I'm glad that I have this conversation with you to come to my office and just get away from everything.
Yeah, I completely agree. I know what that's like.
Yeah.
But same here. I just got back late last night from being gone too, so understand.
Yep. So it's spring in the United States. Have you been doing any turkey hunting?
Yeah, I've done a fair amount. I started in Alabama in March, went for a long weekend, had bad weather, didn't get anything done there. And I've hunted not as much as I normally do in North Carolina, but it's just been the last few years, we just hear less and less birds, and yeah, bird populations going down. So it'd be my first year. I moved here 12 years ago, and it's the first year I didn't kill a bird in North Carolina, but yeah, it is what it is. But I am going to West Virginia this weekend, so
nice.
That should yeah, be a little bit better there.
There's something going on, and I don't know necessarily what it is. All I can say is that from my experience at turkey hunting, and I don't spend a ton of time in the woods chasing turkeys here in Iowa, but I will tell you this. Over the past couple of years, I'd say 3 years, the turkey population is not what it used to be. I used to be able to call and hear, man, probably 50 different birds gobble within you know, like whatever I could pick up with my hearing. And I would call in multiple toms in a 3-day period. I mean a lot. If I messed up on a bird, I would have the best confidence to go and get on another one and call that one in. And the last 3 years just hasn't, it's been different.
I agree. I don't know what it is. I mean, same when I first moved here, I could go around and, you know, same scenario. And I would tell friends from where I grew up, you know, it's like, hey, you got to come hunt with me. It's some of the best turkey hunting. And then now, like, it's just, I mean, I'm hunting mainly, you know, 95% public ground, national forest. And I hunt places that nobody, you know, a lot of my spots, I never run into a hunter. And, you know, I could go back in there and call up 5 birds opening day, and I haven't killed a bird in one of these spots in 2 years. And yeah. I know nobody's killing them out. And another good thing, you know, good observation is, you know, used to, you could ride around up here and see them all spring in the field strutting, you know, 4 or 5 strutters.
Oh yeah.
And I've seen birds in a field 3 times this year. And yeah. I don't know, I'm not a biologist, but I think it has something to do around here with, we've had a couple wet springs and nobody coon hunts anymore. And I think, you know, coons and skunks and things like that must have something to do with it, you know, that wreak havoc on these ground nesting birds. And I think, you know, we're having a sprawl and home building up here. And I think a lot of the habitat's getting pushed down, and, you know, even a lot, like your coyotes are going after turkeys more than they used to. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I haven't witnessed that, but I think predation has something to do with it personally.
Yeah. I talked to a wildlife biologist a while ago, and he mentioned that the raccoon population in the United States is they're very overpopulated throughout the, you know, and exactly what you just said. They and other mammals like possums and skunks. And here's a crazy one. Blue jays are some of the biggest threats to ground nesting birds like turkeys, quail, and pheasants.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that. It makes sense. I mean, they're pretty territorial.
Yeah. So, man, I don't know. I just hopefully they recover and we get back to the good old days, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. I started trapping this year. I grew up coon hunting, and we have a lot of bear hunters up here because we have our bear population is out the roof. I mean, every year there's more and more bears. And, but you got a lot of hound hunters that hunt bears, but we don't have any hound hunters that hunt coons anymore. I've been trying to find guys to go coon hunt with me, and it's like pulling teeth to find somebody to coon hunt anymore. So we started trapping this year. My son and I just, you know, running sets of dog poo traps, and it's nothing to catch a coon around here. They're everywhere, man.
Yep, absolutely. All right.
If you kill one coon, that you're saving a nest and a half.
That's what they say?
I think I heard Dave Owens say that, I believe is who I heard say that from the Penhody Project.
Huh. That's an interesting fact. Oh, hopefully it's true. And it sucks to say this, but when I see a dead coon on the side of the road, I don't feel sorry. Like, I'm just like, another thing I don't got to worry about.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, let's talk about Timber Ninja here. What year did Timber Ninja kick off and actually become a thing?
Well, we started soft promoting the fall of 2019, and we released our first product in the end of May of 2020.
Okay. All right. So you guys are fairly new. Before this quote unquote soft launch that you were doing, what were you guys thinking about? What was going through your heads? You know, why did you guys all of a sudden say, you know, hey, I want to start a outdoor company and have it focus on climbing sticks?
Well, that's the funny part. We never really had that idea. I started making sticks for myself, and I already own 2 other businesses and pretty busy, and just really starting another one wasn't part of the whole shtick. It was, I wanted to make something cool for myself, and I did that. I mean, it took a lot of time and you know, a lot of money too. I mean, it's not cheap to go start doing something nobody's done before, and I was able to do that. And I hunted my sticks for a year and a half working through the prototype, and and my buddies, you know, started seeing them, and they were like, man, you should sell these things. And I really had interest in that. And, but over time, like two of my good friends here in Asheville were like, well, if you want to do it, we know how you're limited on time. We'll get involved and we'll help, you know, we'll get this thing going. So that's essentially how it started. But, you know, for me, I wasn't just going to try to sell climbing sticks. You can't necessarily sustain a business off one product, you know. It's really tough. And so, you know, what I felt is like nobody had really done anything, you know, very super innovative in the mobile hunting, you know, segment, you know, except for, I mean, the saddle, I guess you could say that was innovative, you know, not really innovative because people have been doing it for a long time.
A rebirth.
It's rebirthed it and more people put marketing dollars behind it and attention, and it's taken off. But as far as like really advancing and changing how things are made and using different materials, it really hadn't been done. And so, you know, our model is to make the most innovative hunting products that we can for mobile hunters. And that's the path that we're on. And, you know, it's a passion thing for us. It's not profit driven. I mean, we don't overly market ourselves. We give back money to conservation. Even in our first year, you know, we made sure to stand behind those roots because, you know, ultimately we want to make sure that our kids can do this down the road and have a, you know, more money going towards research to figure out what's going on with turkey populations, you know, make sure we have public lands to hunt. You know, there's multiple areas there that we try to put our money towards. And, and that's the goal is just, you know, be passionate about it and have fun. And honestly, if I'm not having fun running the business, I'll just stop it. You know, like, but I really enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah.
A lot of good people.
So when you sat down and said, hey man, you know, you talk yourself into saying there is space available in this category for me to, create a different kind of product. You know, let's just say, you know, we're going to use climbing sticks here. How many prototypes did you build out and design and mess with before landing on what we see on your website now?
I would say there was essentially 7 different models that I went through with different step configurations, setbacks, and, you know, mainly the first part of it was just trying to get the carbon tube that we use to withstand and carry the load after you penetrate it. So that took some time to figure out how to do that. And after we did that, that's when we started really drilling down, or I started drilling down on, you know, making a product that had, you know, good steps, using different material there. I mean, we use a polymer for our step, which only people that really use something similar to that would be like the Stacked Outdoors people, which have a completely polymer based stick, you know. And then, you know, getting the setback right, and then, you know, ultimately how to get it to stack as a, you know, a fixed two step, which I think is the most efficient. I don't want stuff moving on my sticks. So, so it took about, you know, I would say about 6 runs to really get it dialed in. And for a lot of that, I used the same tube because one thing I wanted to do during this process, because I mean, obviously before we launched our product, read any, you know, people have talked about using carbon fiber, obviously because it's weight and, you know, different things that way, but everybody had failures, and I wanted to take the carbon to failure. So like I was using some of the same tubes and just re-drilling holes for different steps, and I still have those around here. It's quite interesting. And I never was able to get them to completely break. You know, you'd hear them splinter and do things, but they never fully collapsed on me. Which is a testament to, you know, like, you know, there are aluminum sticks that do fail every once in a while, and, you know, the tube kind of cracks and bends in spots, you know, could be weaknesses or whatever, and the tube not necessarily the manufacturer's, you know, fault or anything. It's just you sell enough of something, you don't have some type of weakness in the materials, you buy enough material, you know.
Yeah. So it kind of goes, there's this progression, and we're starting to see it now with your company, and there's this huge, like, everybody wants to go lighter and lighter and lighter. They're taking this this Western backcountry theme and bringing it into the whitetail woods for the, you know, the mobile guy. Why go carbon fiber? right out of the gate? Why bring a carbon fiber type stick? Was it strictly for one reason, and that was to be as light as possible?
No, not necessarily. I mean, weight is one good component as far as weight of material versus strength ratio. Like, carbon fiber is extremely strong in a very lightweight product, depending on how you lay it up. You know, I mean, there's different ways of making carbon fiber. And so, you know, yeah, it's lighter, but also the things that, you know, for me, there's a point of diminishing returns, you know, even for as a Western hunter. And, you know, I've done a lot of other stuff, like where I had to be in the backcountry and utilizing lightweight material or lightweight packs. You know, I never was the guy that cut my toothbrush in half. You know, if I did, it was just because of space more than it was weight. And, but the other factors that I found with carbon fiber that, you know, you have negatives in metal is one or two, weight's one, two is noise, and three is, thermal factors, because, you know, carbon fiber doesn't hold heat or cold the way that aluminum and other things will hold. So, like, you know, one of the problems, you know, and I'm sure being in Iowa, you've experienced this. You walk into your stand, your hands are already cold on a really cold day. You grab your sticks and it's like you're grabbing an ice block, you know, and your fingers don't function right and things like that. So that was one of the key components to using carbon fiber as well.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about weight here, because that's the biggest conversation that guys are having. They're like, "Hey, I wish someone would come out with a carbon fiber stick or a platform or whatever." And you guys did that. What would you say is the difference between your carbon fiber sticks and an average climbing stick that's already on the market?
As far as what the weight difference is?
Yeah, you can talk about weight. You can talk about functionality. You can talk about anything you want.
Oh, gotcha. Well, you know, from a weight perspective, I mean, we make an aluminum stick too that's made identical to ours. And, you know, with the same components, except the tube has changed. And so for that product alone, you know, you're looking at, you know, 5-6 ounces, you know, right at 6 ounces of weight difference between our two products. And, you know, if you look at some of the other metal shorter sticks, you know, because weight's all based on how long something is. You know, if you want to compare a stick to a stick, you really got to compare inch, you know, per inch weight more so than what is my stick weigh as a 20 inch versus somebody else's 17 inch. You know, it's got to be a per inch weight scale. So, you know, the biggest benefit, you know, if you were looking at taking, like, you know, a lot of guys modify their, you know, one of the most popular sticks, you know, is like a Hawk Helium or a Lone Wolf. If you take a 20 inch one of those, you know, you're looking around 2 pounds in that ballpark for one of those sticks. So there's considerable weight difference between our product, the same length, than there is those. I mean, you're looking at, you know, 14 ounces, 15 ounces. So, you know, there's some weight factor there, and that adds up. You know, most guys use four sticks. So, but beyond that is when you're stacking sticks, either unstacking them or stacking them at the end of the night, you're trying to be quiet. Anytime you hit a metal stick with anything metallic, it makes a very unnatural noise in the woods. Well, you know, with our stick, if you hit it with, you know, a lot of guys are using saddles these days, so they're using carabiners and things like that that swing around as they're going up a tree. You know, the possibility for contact with a carabiner is highly likely.
Yeah.
If you hit any of our components that you would be exposed to during that, the carbon or the polymer, it's a very dead, dense noise. I did a decibel comparison with our aluminum stick versus our carbon with the carabiner. I mean, it wasn't done in a lab or anything. It was just redneck engineering. I held a carabiner on a sling at the same distance and let it go and let it hit both of them and recorded it with the dosimeter. And there was about 20 dB difference. So that's,
it's quieter.
It's a lot quieter. Yes. Yeah. And that's without, you know, any modification. I mean, you know, most of your sticks these days, every guy that gets aluminum sticks mods them to some degree, whether they're, most of them are using stealth strip or something like that, which, you know, that comes with a price. And, in time, you know, what's your time worth? And I personally, I don't want to have to spend my weekends modifying my equipment. I don't really have a lot of time. So I want something that comes out of the box ready to hunt. And that's what we market, is a ready to hunt product.
Yeah. I'm not a mod guy either, you know, and that's been a conversation that, you know, oh, I carry one, you know, I use one stick and about 400 feet of rope. And I, it's just, yeah. It gets kind of crazy. And I guess I've never been that guy, but, so the difference between your aluminum and your carbon fiber, is the carbon fiber stick all carbon fiber, or is there aluminum components in there as well?
So the stick is a full carbon tube. Okay. It's made, you know, like I was saying, there's different ways you can lay up carbon fiber for different applications. And how this tube is made is it's what they call propulsion, where it's actually pulled through a mandrel. With, you know, carbon fiber, we weave materials pulled through a mandrel with resins, and it comes out and then it settles and dries. Like aluminum sticks extruded, so it's pushed through a mandrel, and that's how you get a carbon fiber. I mean, that's how you get aluminum stick made, or aluminum tubing made. And then, like I was saying earlier, the problem that I was having in the beginning was it's not as simple as just drilling holes in something and putting steps on it. You know, it will start to fracture, and you can hear it fracturing and splintering and things like that. So I had to reinforce those areas just where they're penetrated and you have bolts going through. We reinforced that with aluminum, a smaller diameter aluminum tube.
Okay.
And that was the problem, is like, you know, a lot of these sticks, you know, you and I can go buy DIY stuff and make aluminum sticks and it works fine. Well, I had to have a lot of stuff machined and made to work inside. You know, there's not a lot of tube that just off the shelf slides into a carbon fiber tube of the same diameter. So that took a lot of time and, you know, and financial commitments to get that to work as well.
Yeah. Now, when a company says, all right, did the aluminum one come out first, by the way?
No, it came out second as like a
different price option
okay. For us. Yeah. Everything we're going to do, all of our products in the future will always have a aluminum component to it as well. Cause we had a lot of guys that were just like, hey, we love your products. We love what your company stands behind, but we just can't really, you know, about the conservation and things like that. There's a lot of guys that are really into that and just like us. And, but they're like, we just can't justify spending, you know, $120 to get started, you know, entry level for our carbon sticks. So we came out with aluminum just to give them a price point option.
Yeah. And I know this is kind of a relative question, but I mean, can the human hand or the human arm notice 6 ounces or 5 ounce difference in a stick?
That's a good question.
Like if I picked up your aluminum and I picked up your carbon fiber, would I be able to notice a big enough difference for me to go, ha? Or even if I stacked three or four on and I picked them up and I was like, okay, I can see the benefit of this carbon fiber now.
Yeah, absolutely. You can. I mean, most people that receive a box of our products, you know, with four sticks, they don't believe there's four sticks in there when they get them. And if you hold one in your hand versus another, yeah, for the essentially 6 ounces, you know, it doesn't seem like that much, but when you put them in your hand, how the carbon is balanced, because all the weight is really at the, you know, at the front and the back where the steps are. So yeah. it feels a lot lighter than it actually is, to be honest with you. Whereas, you know, aluminum stick, the weight's carried out through the whole stick.
Yeah.
There's a wow factor when people pick them up. I will say that for most people that, you know, I've personally witnessed it come by here, you know, out of trade shows or something like that.
Yeah. All right. So the next question I have though is, all right, so there's the tubing. Are there any other plans for other components in the future to be made carbon fiber? And I'm not a machinist. I'm not an engineer. So I don't even know if you can make carbon fiber screws or bolts or steps or things like that. But is there ever a plan or an idea or a thought to go full carbon fiber?
Yes. There definitely is. There's some things that you really, you know, there's not bolts made out of carbon fiber. You essentially need to stick with metal on that. I personally think that you need to stick with metal for the part that bites into the tree. But we do have some new technology that we're working with, you know, we were talking about our lock-on stand that we partnered with a company that, you know, is a high level carbon fiber manufacturer. And they do have some technology where, you know, we are going to be working on a second stick that will be more carbon fiber than the one we have now.
Okay. And that would be on the step portion of it?
Yeah, it would essentially, you know, kind of a all molded type product.
Okay. And then, so just out of curiosity, right? One stick here, one of your carbon, and I'm looking on the website, it looks like one of your carbon fiber sticks is $120, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's on the high end, obviously, because you're paying for that carbon fiber. But when we start getting into a more carbon fiber type of stick here, where we're, you know, just adding more carbon fiber and it's going to get lighter and it's just going to, you know, the functionality is going to be there. But in your opinion, where does functionality and the price kind of, I don't know. Price is just like, yeah, that's an awesome stick, but I'm not going to pay $300 for one stick.
Yeah. And that's a good point. I mean, you're definitely, when you're working with any higher end product, you know, a higher end price point, you're kind of calling on the niche market. You know, it's like, you know, the difference between a Hoyt carbon bow and aluminum bow in most people's hands, you know, and let's say that most average hunters, can they see the difference of it? No, but there's some guys or a lot of guys just like the cool factor of carbon fiber. You know, I raced bicycles for a long time and started aluminum bikes and went into the carbon when they came about, but you know, the price, you know, doubled, but I saw the difference in longevity and, you know, for the bike, it was power transfer too. It was just, it wasn't as weak, you know, didn't flex as much as aluminum did. But I guess to some people, yeah, you're going to get to a point where you have diminishing returns. And, you know, the thing is, it's like, are the carbon sticks helping me kill more deer? No, not by any means. You know, there's no piece of gear that's going to help me kill more animals. That's all comes from time spent between, you know, strengthening what's in between your ears, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, there's going to be some people, if you get up to $300 a stick, that are going to be like, no, I can't do that. And, I can't justify it. I mean, but the same thing was said about our sticks, you know, like, and I didn't really, you know, like I was saying earlier, it wasn't really ever a business model to try to turn this into some super business. It was to make innovative stuff. And I've said this on other podcasts, like with our tree stand, it's going to be a higher price point lock-on. It's like, if I like making it just for me and to say I made it, you know, that brings a lot of level of success and just fulfillment. But, you know, at some point, yeah, it gets too expensive. I mean, your niche market gets smaller, you know what I mean? Yeah. But we sold a lot more than I thought we would have in the first year, but you know, I also didn't have target numbers either. But people that do use them do see the benefits of it, you know, from a noise factor and things like that. And most guys, you know, just really like new cool gear too. Yeah. So,
but at the same time, right, like you're not going to take an L, right? If the company starts to, you know, go down and this is all about, you know, about price, right? You've realized that you've found, the company has found a plateau or a point where people just won't go above that. And although you're making cool products, a business has to at some point start being successful. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny to me is like, I would have thought, not being in the industry, prior to this, I would have thought there would have been a plateau after deer season. And some of our best months, besides October, were January, February, and March. That was some of our best months we've had as a business. And so it really picked up a lot more than I thought it would through this region. I mean, through this off season, but, because more people, you know, we don't spend a lot of money marketing or anything like that. So more and more people are coming to find out about them. And, you know, and as we bring out more innovative products that work together, you have systems that are lighter than other systems, and people need to buy multiple sets to hunt. They can just do everything with one set, you know, so you end up buying one versus three or four.
So, let's talk about this hang on. Right. Is this a, like break this new hang on tree stand down for us, because, there has been another, there's other companies out there. You know, obviously we have the hang ons that have been around for a while, and then we've had some new hang ons that have come out, and they're, you know, American made, they're aluminum as well. And they're like, some of them are like over $600. For one single hang on. And, so why don't you break down this new hang on that, you have, you're prototyping right now. And that's, when do you plan to have that to market?
We, the plans are to have it to market this summer. We're shooting for July.
Okay.
And, so everything keeps going the way it is. I mean, we've been working on this for like 2 years. Like, it's seen so many different versions. It's ridiculous. You know, which is, the price of entry for this is way higher than going into what we did before, to be honest. Because, you know, there's processes that you have to do, and you have to cut molds and things like that. So it goes up pretty quick. But we will have it to market this summer. We're down to the finishing line, which is great, because that keeps me up at night, because that's like my baby project that I'm really excited about. It's been that thing. But it's, you know, originally we were going to do a completely mobile size, you know, very small, mobile kit. But the thing is, to your point earlier, like, the market's a lot bigger in a more traditional size stand. And, so we can get to traditional size platform, seat height, seat size, and things like that with less weight. And also, you know, cleaner. I mean, it essentially looked like a Lamborghini of hands, you know. And then, you know, the noise factor and things like that, you know, will be diminished as well. So yeah, it's a pretty rad product. At one point I was about ready to give up, because it was just taking a long time, and we were running a lot of failures in the beginning, but I'm glad we were able to work it out.
All right. So yeah, break this down for us. Like, I'm a guy who doesn't know, again, the machining that goes into it. I don't know the design and all the stuff that goes into what a hang on, you know, all the stuff that goes into producing a hang on. Is this going to look like a hang on that we're used to, or is it going to be completely different? Is there going to be different functionality? Is it going to be lighter? Or is the carbon fiber aspect being rolled into this as well?
Oh yeah, it's a full carbon fiber. Everything on it's carbon fiber except for the metal that goes into the tree. And then, you know, your platform cables, or what, you know, whatever people use in that realm. Most people use cables. We're working on something different, right, with that as well. But yeah, it'll be lighter, considerably lighter for the size, you know. I can't disclose the full, because we overbuilt the where we're at right now. And just from a weight factor, like the one we just finished, we overbuilt. It was a little under 7 pounds, but it was holding 1,100 pounds of weight. So essentially, you put a 2x safety factor in there, that's 550 pounds weight rating on it. So okay. It was way overbuilt. I mean, you know, two average size guys could sit on that, you know, get on that stand and not, you know, compromise it at all. But you know, we're going to take some of the carbon out of it and, make it a little bit thinner by doing that, and we'll get the weight down. But, you know, the platform size, on it where it sits now is like 18.5 by 29. So when you fold the seat and everything down, you don't have the seat, you know, sticking out past the platform or anything like that. And it gives you a lot of room, on the stand. And I mean, we will make a mini version, of this, 'cause after we've
figured out how to do it now. Like, we don't have to go through all these runs. You know, all we got to do is make it smaller at this point. But personally, yeah, I don't need a lot of space, but technically the market really likes a little bit. If they're going to be in a hang on, they want something a little bit bigger than some of the super lightweight stuff, you know, because you get up there,
yeah,
it gets cramped, you know, if you're trying to turn and stuff and you're a bigger guy on a tree, especially if a tree has any type of angle to it, you know, and most of your modern lock-ons have adjustments to allow you to hunt, you know, angled trees and off camber and stuff like that, you know. So if that tree's bending towards you and you're on a small platform, you're gonna be pushed off towards the end of it, you know. I mean, I'm sure you've experienced that before.
Yeah and that's one of the reasons I don't wear big rubber boots anymore. It's because you feel like you're standing on a tin can, basically. So let me ask you this, like, what do you expect the final weight and dimensions to be on that final, the product that ends up going to market?
The platform dimensions will be right there where we said, about 18.5 by 29, with a 20-inch seat tube. So that gives you a 20-inch high seat. And the seat itself is, I forget the dimensions on that. It's about 12 inches wide by, I believe, 8 deep. So you have plenty of butt room there for guys that have a little more junk in the trunk.
Yeah.
You know, that's a, you know, one of the things you see a lot of people's complaints with some of these smaller ones, you know, to make aluminum smaller, I mean, lighter, what do you got to do? You got to put less aluminum in it, right? So the ones that come out, you know, they have small platforms, shorter seat height and smaller seats. And, you know, it's, you know, getting to the woods with a lighter pack is one thing, but, you know, as you know, the way most people capitalize on success in whitetail hunting is spending more time in the tree, right? I mean, unless you just get lucky and something shows up your first hour of your first day of rutcation. But
yeah,
for most, that doesn't really work out. You know, you have to put in the grind of all day sits. And the best way to do that is, you know, having a comfortable stand to sit in.
Yeah. So did you mention weight there? What, like, the final weight for the overall is going to try to be?
The final weight should be low sixes, potentially sub six. Won't know until this new one's completely molded up.
Okay. So, and we're, because I'm sure you do a variety of different product testing and know the specs of other, I guess, what you would call your competitors. Where does that stand? Where does that around six stand with the other hang-ons that are on the market?
You know, I mean, currently the lightest out there is the Lone Wolf Custom Gear 0.5. And I think it's around 5.5 to 6, somewhere in that range. And, you know, then I guess the new Beast stand, which is a bigger stand than that, probably more, I would say more, I believe more comparable in size to ours. I think it's in the like mid to high sixes. So, and I think there was another one released, like last week or something. It's smaller, but you know, it's around 8 pounds. So it, you know, there again, size, you know, square inch per weight, you know, we should be the lightest, when it comes to market.
Okay. And then, let's see, does that, when you purchase a stand, does it come with a seat at all? Like a pad to sit on?
Yeah, we're going to be working on that. That's like the thing we're working on right now, is playing with different types of, material to get a comfortable seat, you know? Yeah. I just don't throw a traditional foam seat on there. You know, it's, we got some different types of foam technologies that we're looking at that okay. will, make it more comfortable.
Yeah. So what do you guys expect? And I know this, you may not have this 100% down right now, but this carbon fiber hang on, where are you guys thinking it's going to land as far as price point is concerned?
It's going to be targets, you know, between $600 and $700.
Between $600 and $700, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Anything else as far as the tree stand is concerned, any, cool functionality, anything that it's going to make it stand out other than the fact that it's all carbon fiber?
I mean, it's going to have all your platform and seat adjustments. Sticks will integrate into it. And essentially, we're making it to where anybody's sticks will work with it. That's the goal we're working on. We've got, we figured out how to do it right for our sticks. But the thing is, like, I know not everybody uses our sticks. So, like, we don't want to pigeonhole somebody into having to buy our sticks for it to function properly with our stand. So, right now we're working on trying to get it to where the other people's sticks, you know, for the most part, a vast majority of people's sticks would work with our stand. That's the goal.
Okay. And that's pretty cool. I'll be honest, when a company, cause there's a lot of companies out there that only want you to buy their products, but that's unrealistic. If you ask me, from somebody coming from, you know, from the outside looking in, and this happens in, one example would be trail cameras where, you know, if you use an SD card in one trail camera, it will permanently format that SD card to where it won't work in any other, trail cameras except that brand. Okay. Right. So when you make a product like what you're about to make, or what you're finishing up here, and you have the product that is, you know, there's almost like a universal functionality behind it, man, I think that's pretty badass.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I mean, cause I'm not, you know, it's like I said, it's a passion thing. And like I'm a realist, and there's some people that chase the financial gains of this. And if it was all about the money, I probably would already stopped, but like not because we're losing money. It's just like, I was motivated by money growing up, but you know, like no longer am I, because like reality is just like, I want to do good. You know, it's kind of like patents work, you know, like Volvo created the seatbelt, but they didn't patent it because they wanted the technology to be available for everybody.
Yeah.
And like, that's just how I feel about products. Like I shouldn't be in fear of somebody knocking us off if we're continuing to innovate, like, you know, like people are already doing sticks like ours. And I know one of my suppliers that makes the carbon gets calls all the time from people, you know, want to know what type of tube we buy. And the thing is like, they can copy that stick if they want. Like we're already working on the next stick, you know, like you always got to stay a step ahead. And if you're doing good things, people notice that and they support good people. I mean, in my opinion, that's sales philosophy 101. People buy from people they like and who are like them. And that's the brands you get behind. And that's the stance we want to make, you know, is being dudes that, you know, want people to have a good time in the woods and want to have plenty of places to hunt and animals and critters to get after. And that's why we get back to conservation from day one. And, you know, most of the competitors out there, like I've talked and called most of them right before we launched our products. And I have really good relationships with a lot of them and share ideas with them of what we're doing, you know, cause I'm just personally not, intimidated by that, you know, or insecure.
Yeah. The hang on sounds like it's coming, but it also sounds like you guys are jumping into the saddle market as well, with some potential saddle gear coming out. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, the whole motto of the company is a mobile hunting products company. So it was always from day one, we were going to have products that work for all type of mobile hunting setups. And I have a background. I've been selling and training, inspecting fall protection for 15 years, and I've been rock climbing for a long time. So it was a pretty natural, you know, segue for us to get into saddles. You know, I've spent a lot of time hanging from ropes and webbing. And so I know a good deal about that, and I have good partners that can help us. They've been doing it for years. So we do have a saddle that's in the works and should be ready here. It'll be ready July or sooner. For the market. And with that, we're also going to be using or coming out with a saddle platform as well, which the first one of this is going to be an aluminum saddle platform, but we do have plans of making that into carbon. That'll be a next year project. We just had a lot of resources tied up in time and everything tied up into the stand, but So we prototyped it and made it out of aluminum. And essentially, we can roll that same technology into, or the same CAD design and everything into carbon, now that we've figured out how to make the carbon work for this type of mold, and it'll be a pretty easy launch as well next year.
Okay. Do you have any specs for us on the saddle that you're, or the platform that you're going to release?
Yeah, I mean, the saddle is just it's a two-panel design, pretty sleek. We're using different materials. I can't disclose that just yet until we launch it, but using different materials than people have been using as far as for the panels and things like that, to essentially, you know, one of the biggest problems people have with saddles, you know, is comfort, and hip pinch is one of the most hardest things that people run into. So, you know, we're using materials that alleviate a lot of should alleviate all hip pinch for most people. I mean, it has for us, but you know, everybody's different. And, I always like the idea of a two panel because, you know, in fall protection, we use a thing called a bosun seat. You know, it's a seat that people sit on. You know, you see a lot of people that are window washers using bosun seats that attach to their harness. And so all the weight's distributed on that bosun seat, where that's essentially how a bottom panel of a saddle, if you have a two panel design, works. You know, you can scoot it down to hug the bottom of your legs. And it also gives you a little bit more adjustment, you know, throughout the day, to, you know, adjust your top panel as a back band, and or to bring it down to kind of cup. And then essentially we're going to have it where it tightens up to where you can walk in it without the bottom panel dropping down, if you're a person that walks in with your saddle on. And then the platform is a middle of the road as far as size. So let's say the most common larger platforms you hear about are the Trophy Line Mission and the Predator XL from Tethered. Ours sits in between those two. And we just use some different angles on our platform to allow you to push off a little bit better, and, you know, allow you to stick when you are, you know, trying to get that around the tree shot, or, you know, those off camber positions that you get into. And then we made the platform a little deeper than most people, because I shoot traditional equipment, which is a little bit longer, and, you know, you don't have draw stops, so your anchor points have to be repetitive. And I was running into issues with most people's platforms that I was using being a little too shallow, where I couldn't stand up to shoot if I wanted to. And I like that. If I can get that shot, I like to be standing if I can. So that was some of the theory that went into our saddle platform.
Cool. Anything else coming out of your guys's camp that, you want to share with us today? Anything top secret or, you know, maybe, a direction that you guys might head?
I mean, the only other thing we've been messing around with and feel there's a need is like a really good mobile hunting pack. Like, I primarily don't use anything but a frame pack, because most of my hunts are, you know, at least a mile in, if not more. So I always have to pack a deer out, you know, if I'm in a state that allows that. But there are some hunts I get to do, and not everybody hunts has the ability to hunt deep, you know, just because you know, the land they hunt that doesn't offer that. And, but I really want to create a really nice mobile hunting style pack that was very well made, you know? So we have that in the works too. And in the design we're working on with that, it'll work with our products to integrate into our stand and saddle platform and stuff like that as well.
Do you guys ever see yourself becoming an accessory company too? Just making it kind of a one-stop shop for stand sticks or a saddle, screw-in steps, screw-in hooks, bow ropes, anything like that?
You know, we definitely, you know, as far as the rigging goes, you know, for saddles, we're going to have to get into that just because we're going to offer that. So different ropes and sewn eyes, different types of mechanical ascending devices and things like that. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the whole model. It's a bundling concept, you know, allow people to buy more from one place. You know, it's more efficient shipping and things like that. So we'll dabble in some of that where it needs to be. You know, I have thought about screw and step type stuff. And the problem is, like, for a lot of public land, that you can't really utilize that. And there's a lot of companies that are already doing a good job with it, in my opinion, that, and it's not something I really use much. I do have a friend that hunts deep public that he can drill into trees. So, you know, he started using, I can't remember. It's not the Cranford steps. It's one of those screw and bolt types, steps, you know, I can't remember the name of it. But he's been setting those up high with his preset stand and just using a couple sticks to get up to those. So, you know, that is cool stuff, but I don't really see much advancement there for us to get into that market. And then who knows, like, I do have some, another winter accessory that I've been working on for like a year, that you may see come out, this year at some point. But, you know, it's tough right now, when you make everything in America, like prototyping and everything's gotten in supply, you know, supply chain's just gotten beat up, you know? And, so it's really hard to get materials from people these days. And also for people that are of any size that can handle production for you, they're so short staffed right now because they're having problems getting employees that it's been a little challenge to get some folks to jump on, any type of new prototyping things that they're not currently doing. But fortunately, you know, we started some of the stuff that we're going to launch this year well before. So we're past that crux.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense, man. Well, other than that, if guys want to find out more information about, your stands and your sticks, where should we send them?
Our website's www.timberninjaoutdoors.com. And then we're on, you know, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Timber Ninja Outdoors. So, just shoot us an email through our website, you know, our emails are on our website. So we respond really quick, man. And, always willing to help somebody out, answer any questions. And, you know, we're biased, but not that biased. Like most, I get a lot of guys that call me and tell me what they're into. And, you know, and I tell them that maybe our stick's not for them, you know, maybe they need to go with XYZ, you know, I mean, there's no reason not to tell somebody they got to use your stuff, you know?
Yeah. So we're absolutely,
we've been mobile hunting for a long time, so we can help out multiple ways.
All right. Well, I tell you what, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and chat with us and talk to us a little bit about your business and your product.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.